Thanks for joining us on the NRT Now podcast, part of the largest Christian music site online, newreleasetoday.com. Sit back and relax as we chat with your favorite artists, introduce you to new artists, and more. Now here's your host, Jake.
Hey, welcome to episode 56. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we are just so glad that you're here with us. So our guest for this episode is Matt Hammett. He is the former frontman of a band called Sanctus Real, and now he is solo. And if you have happened to catch any of the Bowen's Heart story, he is Bowen's dad. So before we get into the conversation, just one real quick thing I want to touch on. As I was listening back through this episode, it just really hit me where we talk about just being open and honest and real and raw with God. Not only with God, but others. But kind of going back to being real and open and raw with God, I think a lot of times we limit ourselves to pretty prayers and pretty communications with God. You know, like, hey, God, thank you for everything that you've done. And just pray that, you know, Aunt Sally will be healed with cancer. Or, you know, maybe can you please help me find a job? Or, you know, just kind of leaving it at that surface level. Just want to tell you, it's okay to be real and open and raw with God. You know, He is our Heavenly Father. And just like we love that when our kids come to us with what they're really struggling, He loves hearing that from us as well. And He's big enough to handle all of it. You know, it's okay to be like, God, why is this costing me my job? Why is this cancer hurting our family? Why is, you know, whatever is happening, this is tough. Why? That's okay. And I think a lot of times we feel bad when it gets to that because, you know, God's God, you know, and He's sovereign, which yes, He is, but also that fatherly role. I mean, it's okay to lay that at His feet and find peace in actually laying that at His feet instead of just holding it back to pretty prayers. So, man, I hope this conversation really encourages you, and I hope it speaks to you just like it spoke to me. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Matt Hammett. We're here hanging out with Matt Hammett, and most of y'all will remember Matt from a little group. I don't know if they're really well known, Sanctus Real. I mean, nobody's ever heard of Sanctus Real, I don't think. But yeah, just thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, man, it's great to be here. And I'm grateful if you have me on and excited to talk a little bit, man.
I joke about not hearing about Sanctus Real. When I was kind of just starting into sort of my adulthood, if you will, Sanctus Real was one of the biggest bands that I loved to listen to at the time. When Lead Me came out, man, that was just a song that just hit hard, especially as I was young in my marriage. What year was that released? I don't remember.
Yeah, so Lead Me came out in 2010. Can you believe that, man? It's already been 10 years. So pretty wild that a decade has passed.
That is incredible. Actually, I would have said it was probably like earlier 2000s, but
yeah,
but it has been a while. So yeah, I wasn't even a dad yet when that came along.
Crazy, man. Well, that's cool. Every time I hear that this song has meant something to someone, you know, as any song, as an artist, it's like, you don't take it lightly because that's why we do what we do.
Well, when that would have came out, I think I might've been pregnant or, well, I would not me, but
like maybe we should switch topics here. You know, sounds like we got a way bigger can to open here, you know, on the podcast.
Other questions that need to be addressed here.
Yeah.
Oh man. But no, I think we're just pregnant with our first one when that would have come out, now that I think about that. So it was just kind of that perspective. We would have been married about 5 years at that point, going into fatherhood. I mean, just one of those songs that just kind of hits you between the eyes, just as a perspective.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's been definitely a life-changing song for a lot of people, but definitely was also, and remains, a life-changing song for me too.
Not only is it a song now, but we have a book coming out with that, is what I understand.
Yeah. So, well, let me start with a song, right? So any song, as you know, it's like we take these massive ideas or topics or life stories and we have to pack them all down into like 4 minutes. And sometimes for me as a communicator, I love the challenge of taking big ideas and breaking them down into very small, meaningful packages. But I also sometimes struggle because there's so much more that I want to say about it. And so Lead Me, as a song, reached a lot of people, touched a lot of hearts. what some people may not know about that song is that it really is my story from my life and words that my wife spoke to me as my career life was kind of getting out of sync, or I guess out of balance with my personal life. And her voice to me, her words to me was like, I just need you to be more present here with us. You know, I need you to lead emotionally and spiritually, be there for us and for me. And so that day that we had this massive life-changing conversation about this issue, I wrote the first draft of Lead Me and didn't know two things. I didn't know that that song would end up reaching, you know, tens of millions of people all around the world and being so impactful. But I also didn't understand really what that message would stir in me, not only being my story to share, my testimony to share about being a husband who's trying to balance career dreams and family dreams, but also the big irony of Lead Me that a lot of people don't know is that I wrote this song out of that sincere moment of wanting to answer my wife's call to be more present. But the success of the song Lead Me took me away from home even more, causing me to really ask even deeper questions about where my priorities were, whether I'm really the man that I claimed to be or hoped that I was, looking at my inner life and determining whether those intentions of my inner life were really actions in my outer life that were reaching and speaking to my family in the way that I needed to. There's this huge message behind the song of where it came from, the life of the song, what was happening in my life, even as it was exploding. And then the tail end of that, which is my final decision to leave Sanctus Real because of my desire to live what that song really was and not just sing it. Lead Me has been, you know, a big part of others' lives, but also mine, which is why I decided to finally write the whole story in the book Lead Me, which came out just this past, I think it was March, right as COVID hit. So my publicity tour, you know, my tour with Kirk Cameron, everything got canceled. And so I'm trying to figure out how I kick it back up again and start letting people know more that not only is my new album out, but I also put out a book this year. So I hope if people are in a place where they're married or they're raising kids, not just my story will speak to dads and husbands, but Sarah's story will most definitely speak to mothers and wives. And we're very raw, very vulnerable about not only the issues that we've been through as a couple, but how God has used that pain to draw us closer together.
Yeah, I forgot you're on tour with Kirk Cameron. It came somewhat close to me and I was kind of eyeballing it.
Yeah.
I don't even remember when that was. It might've been February by this point.
Yeah, we do. We've been doing Living Room Reset together for 3 years now. Spend some time, you know, and so what we're going back out here to finish up the last string of dates that were canceled in the spring. So mid-November, just in about a week and a half, we go back out. So it's been really incredible. Kirk is everything that you would hope he would be as a person. When you hear people are good people, you hope they really are. You never know, right? And only God knows and people in that inner circle. But I can attest that he truly is a man of character. He's an incredible friend, incredible father and husband. And having him in my life has been a massive blessing. So not just getting to do the events together, but also the friendship that God's brought with those of us who are out there doing that work. So livingroomreset.com, you can actually go there if you want to look at where it's going to be.
This is my first time learning about this book. Like I said, of course, the song in that perspective. Now I'm going to have to go get a copy. I love how you're talking about it being raw because marriage is tough. And I think we say that a lot, but it's something that's, yeah, it's tough and it's kind of glossed over. It's hit me as well. I mean, there's been those tough conversations between my wife and I about kind of that same topic. We have these cute little love and respect classes that are good. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. We have the love languages, we have all that, but sometimes just the raw and the tough side, I don't necessarily want to say it's normalized. It doesn't get normalized, but it's not talked about as much as, you know, like the love languages and kind of the cutesy side of it, if I can say that like that.
Well, no, you know, in the writing world, one of the terms that's very popular is show, don't tell. So what that means is don't just say to somebody, just tell somebody something. Don't just say marriage is hard. Show them that marriage is hard, right? So write the story, tell people about the issues that are vulnerable, what you've been through. And so that was really a rule that I lived by while writing this book, was like, hey, I'm going to actually not just say marriage is hard. I'm going to tell the things that were hard. I mean, we document our worst arguments, the darkest moments in our marriage, things we regret saying to each other, things we regret doing. It's like all that's in there, because the way that we connect with people is always through our vulnerability. You've never connected with anyone in your life in a substantial way by being prideful, by showing them your highlight reel, by, you know, making them think that your life is so much better than theirs. The only way we connect with people is when we're willing to like open up our real selves and say, hey, look, I'm struggling. I remember being so taken off guard in a really beautiful way by a man who is a speaker, someone I really look up to. I didn't know him very well, and I still would spend a lot of time with him. But one of the times that I saw this guy, he just literally said, hey, you know what? I'm really struggling with, and he like said this thing, and I was like, wow, that is so ballsy that this guy just straight up told somebody he does not know very well what he's struggling with. Immediately, we had a bond, because I knew that he was going to be real with me. I think that's the greatest gift we can give each other, whether men or women, to be vulnerable and say, yeah, you know what? If marriage sucks right now, hey, man, my marriage sucks right now, right? Like, you just say it. Maybe you're in a good season, but when you're not, to be willing to share that with people, it makes them know that now they have a safe place where they can go when they're hurting to talk to you. And those are how bonds are formed. So that's what I want my book to do. That's what I want my music to do, for people to go, oh my gosh, like, yeah, me too. I feel this way too. Oh my gosh, I'm not the only one, you know?
I was going to save this for a little bit later, but talking about your music, Treetop just came out. Well, I say just came out. It's been a few weeks now. But
yeah,
that's one of the things that really struck me about this album, was just exactly what you're talking about, that communicating and being real. A lot of the lyrics to this song are just real. Just talking about average. You know, what if I'm meant to be just average?
Yeah, we think it's such a bad thing. Something I've really had to come to grips with, to be honest, because in me making a decision to not pursue my career in the way that I did before, I mean, let's just get real. To be the most popular artist, to be the most successful in a company, you've got to give a lot of yourself to it. And the more you give to your work, the more you flourish. We gave so much to Sanctus Real, and we sowed a lot. And by the grace of God, we reaped a lot as well, in terms of like reaching people. Our ministry had a huge platform, not as big as some, but much bigger than we ever imagined. And now that I've made the decision to focus more on my family, especially during this time while my kids are young and impressionable, I give up some of that now. I give up knowing that I might not be the biggest artist on the charts. Maybe I'm not going to sell quite as many albums as the guys who are hustling harder. And again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with people who hustle. Some people have great teams who hustle for them. That's great. But for me, I've had to accept, since leaving Sanctus Real, especially this platform we built, stepping off that stage in a way, that what if I don't ever have another number one song? What if I don't sell the amount of records or sell the amount of books that I was hoping to sell? Can I still be content with what God has given me and where he has placed me today as a father and a husband and a friend in my community? Can I thrive in that place and let that be enough? Of course, I think we should attain to do great things through God's strength in our lives. But the truth of it is like, in God's eyes, he does not favor men. He doesn't favor people, regardless of their success. Like, we are, in a way, we are average. Like, we are all God's children. We are on the same playing field in his eyes. If we want to be better than our brother or sister, or better than our neighbor, then we've got some real internal issues to work out. I've struggled with those things of like, why do I want to be better? Why do I want to be more popular? Why do I want to sell more? It's that competitive nature inside of us, but God doesn't see that. And I wanted to be transparent about that stuff. Like, I wanted to be transparent about the fact that we struggle with these feelings, but also like give people a safe place to go like, okay, good. Again, Matt struggles with this stuff too. You know, it's just trying to be super honest.
Well, and if you also look at the numbers, going back to the average thing, How many major A-list artists are there out of the whole population, out of everybody that's doing it? BC, you know, how many people down the line are there truly numbers? I mean, yeah, they have a huge impact for a minute as long as they're playing on the radio. But most of the work is done by the people in the church, by the people that greet you as you're walking in, that smile, that come to help paint a house, that come help you move. I mean, that's average-ish, but...
Average work, absolutely. Even for Sanctus Fruit, I think, with like, even now, you know, I go in, I do a concert, and I'm there for an hour and a half on stage and maybe greet some people, hang out with some people. But you're right. It takes all the people doing everything else to set up the space, to, you know, turn on the lights, to turn on the sound, to run the sound, to clean the toilets, to prepare the facilities for people to come and join and gather. Without that, the rest can't happen. And it's like, yeah, every job is... glamorous or unglamorous as it may seem, is so important.
Another one of those real open, honest songs, is it Try? Like, I've established on this podcast that I'm terrible with song names and album titles when it comes to
it's recording. Totally fine.
But it's talking about how God's okay with you not being okay with things. He's big enough to take on those doubts, those worries, those concerns. It doesn't have to be all pretty and fluffy every time you communicate with God.
Yeah. Well, we've seen a exodus of a young generation from churches. And I really think that maybe partly because church hasn't been a safe place to express your doubts, ask hard questions. I know several people who growing up felt a very big frustration from their pastors for asking certain questions, because maybe they just didn't have enough faith. They just should have more faith. But it's like, there is no faith without doubt. And I think that if we can open up our arms to people who doubt, even inside the church, and let them know that they will not be ostracized, they will not be shamed for bringing those questions out, then I believe that we can walk with people in the relationship with Christ, even as they doubt, until they get to a place where their faith grows. I think those questions need to be asked, and we need, as leaders, need to open our arms to those who ask them. So I don't know, people are listening right now, like what kind of church they go to, what kind of, what kind of freedom they may feel to ask the hard questions or to wrestle. But I do know this, that our Father in heaven wants us to come to him even with our doubts and our hurts and our pain. Even Jesus cried out to his Father, why have you forsaken me? And then also, you know, I hope my song, Try, creates a musical space for people to do that. I hope it actually washes over people, that they have the same experience I had when I wrote it, which was like, I had to lift my voice and recognize that my fears and my doubts can't shake God, that it can't break him, that he is there, he's strong. He wants me to come to him. And what I've realized, when you come to the Father, you might not get all the answers, but you get his love. You get his rest. If you can rest in that mystery, rest in his love, that's a gift in and of itself as you seek to find the answers.
As dads ourselves, one of the things that you always think about or that you talk to your kids about is like, I want you to be able to tell me everything, good, bad, or whatever. I'm here for you. For some reason, I think sometimes that doesn't extend to God. We talk about him being our Heavenly Father. We talk about that. But sometimes that connection just doesn't click, that the same thing that we're asking of our kids, you know, here physically on earth, is what we should be following with our Heavenly Father.
Yep, exactly. A couple of days ago, I was writing on my socials about how Bowen crawled under our bed a couple mornings ago. I just kind of hugged him and I told him he was a good son. And he said, you're a great dad. And I was like, oh, slay me, man. But what it made me think is like, those simple words of adoration to our Father in heaven mean so much. So like, it's like what you're saying right now, like we want our kids to come to us not only with those positive things that make us feel good, but it also makes me feel good. My 14-year-old daughter comes to me and says, hey, Dad, I'm struggling with something. And she tells me about it. I don't want her to hide that from me. It makes me feel close to her and gives me an opportunity to show her love and understanding. And I do believe, like you said, in that same way, God wants us to come to him as our Father and let him know what we're struggling with.
We could almost go through like song by song on this album, and we could spend a couple hours in this podcast probably just going song by song, but you know, like Treetop, Blank Page, just all of these, it just, the heart and the transparency through that just really shines through on each one of these tracks throughout this whole project.
Man, I appreciate that. I poured everything into it, man. Sometimes I forget. I did one other interview today, and then I forget what I've said to you and what I said to them. So there's certain things I like to cover so people know. And I don't think I've said this yet. If I have, forgive me. But this is my first project that I'm not involved with a label or a publisher. I've loved my labels. I've loved my publishers. But when they invest money in a project, they need you to kind of shoot for a target, right? It's like if any company is going to invest money in a product, they have to make sure that that product can be sold to the people they know how to sell their products to. Again, there's nothing wrong with that. But the beauty in this for me as a creator and as an artist was that I had the opportunity to not worry about any target whatsoever. I went in with my buddy Riley, who's a producer, Riley Friesen, and I just said, look, there's no targets. Literally, we are going to write. I have all these songs. I've got the guts of these songs. And we're going to produce these songs. You use your gifts. You bring it to the table. There are no rules. Like, you just do what you do, the best you know how to do it. Pour your heart into it. And I'll do the same. And that's what we did on this album. And we let it be what it was meant to be completely and didn't interfere with the guts in it. I'm really proud of these songs and the production that Riley did and the collaboration we did together for that reason, man. Like, I didn't make this album to make money, even though who doesn't like to make money? It's like, I've got to feed my kids, I know. But thankfully, I've been doing multiple things, which allows me to take the things I'm really passionate about and not worry about whether that one thing will pay the bills. Is it more work in a way mentally for me at times? Yes, juggling some things, but it does. It creates the freedom for me to say, okay, with music right now, I am only going to do what I'm called to do. And I'm going to give my heart to this, regardless of what I think may or may not sell.
So this is a complete tangent. You piqued my curiosity as you're talking there. What do you see now that we have Spotify and all these different mediums of music distribution? It's not the traditional label, print, package, ship kind of scenario. Do you see more of this kind of attitude coming out of Christian music?
Yeah.
I know that's a loaded question.
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. The reason I'm not sure is because I have really chosen a path of friendship with a lot of the artists in this community where we don't talk as much about business. There's been opportunities to work with other artists that I respect, but maybe even at times I've kind of not even taking those opportunities because I'm in a season where I'm like, I want to build relationship with people I love and care about. And secondly, I've also distanced myself a little bit from the industry side of it because for a while when I was trying to detach myself from the grind of what I did with Sanctus Real, part of that was always being in tune to what was happening in the market. It was like, who's selling what? Who's doing what? Where are we on the charts for ticket sales, for singles, for radio? I made a very conscious decision to kind of pull my head out of that stuff. And so it's interesting because you asked that. I'm like, man, I don't know. I don't know creatively if people are thinking these same things. But I do know that I'm hearing of more and more artists who are like, I mean, I just wrote recently with Jason Roy from Building 429 a couple of weeks ago. Seeing him, they did their own label now. And seeing some other artists, Matthew West, right? I think he kind of is doing his thing independently now. So there are a lot of artists who are breaking out. And I imagine that part of that is to be able to just follow the channel that they feel creatively they're meant to be in. I could be wrong, but that's my guess. You know, I think you're onto something there.
I don't want to knock labels because there's great benefits. We have great relationships with a bunch of labels. I don't want to put that, but you're not Absolutely. The first person that I've heard that from either. Is like, it just sparked that curiosity and I haven't got the chance to put you on the spot yet. So I figured what better time.
Yeah. And you know, I think there have been people I've seen in the past who've done it and like bucked against the industry in an unhealthy way. Who've kind of been like, Christian music sucks and the labels suck and this and that. I feel like really blessed to have had a really beautiful experience with the Christian music industry. Where I'm at now, it's like I get the opportunity to still love on people and be in that community in a really healthy way, but not have to worry about the competition side of it. You know, it's really been a beautiful thing for me. I feel blessed by that, you know?
is where you kind of start to look at the finish line here. Just want to talk a little bit about Bowen. I know Bowen's a huge part of your story, and I remember it wasn't long ago. I don't know. This COVID timing has me all mixed up, so it could have been a year ago. But Bowen came out with a major breakthrough. Well, that had to have been later last year, wasn't that?
Yeah, so in 2010, Bowen was born. He had his first major open heart surgery 5 days after birth. Then we went back in February of 2011 for his second open heart surgery, which, crazy enough, that was like right around, I write all about this in my book because this was a period of time where my life was falling apart. I mean, Lead Me was number one on the radio throughout that whole fall leading into his second surgery. Sarah needed me more than ever, but I was gone more than ever because, I was in the hospital for months, but then once that was over, they're like, all right, we got to get back out there. We got to go sing Leave Me. We got to make money. We got to make the most of this number one song. And so it was like, all of a sudden I went from like totally tunnel vision of my child is dying to now I'm back on the road. It was like the adjustment was super hard for me and Sarah, me being away from him, it causing strain on our marriage. And then her being devastated that I wasn't there once our son came home and was so sick to help as much as I needed to be. So those were delicate times. So it's been really amazing to have, by the grace of God, made it through all that, become stronger through that. And again, I share all that in the book Lead Me about how that happened and all the things that happened through that time period and where God's brought us now. But now we are to a point where in 2019, we decided to have Bowen's third major open heart surgery, which technically is the final surgery of a three-stage repair. It doesn't mean his disease is gone. It doesn't mean he won't ever need another surgery or a transplant at some point, but it does mean that for now, his repair is considered complete. We had a lot of friends who struggled through that surgery and the outcome wasn't what they had hoped for, unfortunately. So leading into Bowen's surgery, knowing it was dangerous, we decided to start filming our life a little bit because we wanted to have those memories. And I started kind of editing together these little montages of our life on the way through it. Sarah and a couple friends of ours saw it and they said, man, that's beautiful. Like, you guys should consider like actually doing a documentary. And we had kind of thought of it, but I realized I couldn't do it because I wouldn't be in it if I was the one filming. So Sarah reached out to a couple that had done documentary work for NBC. They were starting to leave NBC because they wanted to branch out and do their own feature-length documentary work. They had lost a son from heart disease, so we had that in common. And they signed on to do the documentary with us. From the beginning of 2019, after making that decision, we document the entire journey through Bowen's surgery of what it's like to be a family that struggles with chronic illness. The toll that it takes on moms and dads, on marriages, on siblings, on the child himself, on Bowen. We give an in-depth look. Hopefully, it will help other families who struggle know they're not alone, who will also help other families with kids with chronic illness, especially heart disease, know what to expect as they're walking through it. So it's a tool and a resource. But above and beyond all that, it turned out to be an absolutely stunning film because of the work that Zach and Lexi Reed did. We were grateful that Nashville Film Festival chose Bowen's Heart as one of their feature documentaries. Out of 9,000 submissions, they chose 200 films. Wow. And Bowen's Heart was one of them. So now we're in talks with distributors and trying to figure out how we get it out to the public now.
What I just remember is the news came out and we did a small congratulations video, not to toot our horn, but just my...
No, I remember that, and that really meant a lot. Thank you.
The only reason I say that is because I know I was driving on a trip somewhere and that was not 2020.
Yeah, it was. So July of 2019 is when Bowen's actual surgery happened. And we currently are still in a season where things are going very well right now. And so we couldn't be more pleased.
And the cool thing about Bowen too is he's released his own songs through the middle of all this as well.
Yeah, people can actually go to look up Bowen Hammett on Spotify or Apple or wherever, Pandora, wherever you listen to music, and can actually listen to Bowen sing as well. He's got an incredible voice. It's funny. I feel like I'm the worst marketer ever. I'm like, I love being creative, but I stink at talking about myself or using exciting points to like point people in that direction. little known things about Bowen's project is there's actually a version of his song Safe Right Here that Mercy Me is on. So they can check that out too. You know, Bart's in there and Tim Timmons is in there. Mike from Mercy Me played on it. Ben Calhoun from Citizen Way is in there singing. You can't hear all their voices real clear, but you can hear Bart in there. But it's funny because like it's like hardly anybody's listened to that version. Tons of people have listened to the other stuff. And I'm like, y'all don't understand. Mercy Me is on this one.
Oh, that's so cool. I mean, Bowen is, what, 10 now? And has more creds in the music industry than I ever will.
I told him the other day, I said, hey, Bowen, how many spins do you think your song Heartstrong has on Spotify? And he's like, I don't know, like a few thousand. I was like, no, dude, your song has 125,000 spins on Spotify. I'm like, dude, come on, bro. Like, I have friends in the music industry who don't even have that many, you know?
Oh, that's so cool. So that documentary is looking at 2021 is what you're saying, correct?
Yeah, we're open in 2021. We made it in hopes that it could be a tool and a resource outside of even like Christian film market. But we also knew that people in that market would appreciate it. And so we're trying to do some deals potentially with other bigger mainstream outlets, which is, as you know, is so hard. There's so much competition in that field and it takes years sometimes to get on those platforms unless you're like with a major movie house. Being independent though, we've already had multiple offers from Christian networks to air it. And so we probably will sometime in the next couple months do something with a network, maybe even two or three different networks that people will be able to watch it air.
Well, I'm excited to see it. Hopefully soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So awesome. Well, we appreciate you hanging out with us here for a while, Matt.
Yeah, of course. I'm grateful. You know, people want to check out the new album Treetop. It's everywhere you stream music and anything related to what we talked about today, the book or the movie, people can get more information at matthhammett.com.
Thanks for hanging out with us for this episode of the NRT Now podcast. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And special thanks to Neon Feather for providing our theme music. Make sure to check out newreleasetoday.com and our socials for more great content. See you next episode.